Blog Talk Radio.
I'm a truth terrorist. I'm a knowledge gangster. I'm a black history hitman. I'm a lie killer, urban gorilla. I gotta be a roughneck.
Free the Black Panthers. FCBP. Stand for Free the Black Panthers. And fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment. Trying to make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements with black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coins, hell pro.
Show.
They got me started, lying hearted, I'm the new Mufasa. And I'm all about Umoja, first in Gruz, Usaba. Let's bring back the black families, we need our father. Single mama, son and daughter, that's root of the problem. Wise up, we rise up, unity is so powerful. Black banks, black schools, black owned, black power moves. You telling lies, if you think this shit won't be televised. Black power, be scared guys, that be standing there like they paralyzed, huh? We say fuck the system, cause we above the system. We keep ARs and pistols, shotguns that's worth the crystal. But that's for self-defense, make sure we have no issues. Be sure to leave it at the door if you have it with you. This for them freedom fighters, that lost their freedom. Until they freedom, we screaming carpe diem. This for the general, King Khalid Muhammad. We gon' make your day a holiday, I fucking promise.
Free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. That 13th Amendment, tryna make a slave of me. You can lock my body, can't trap my mind, not forever be free.
Okay,
free the Black Panthers, FCBP. Stand for free the Black Panthers, and fuck the black police. Feds infiltrated our movements for black leadership roles. But we still here, finna build here, fuck coins, hell pro.
RBG, 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 RBG. My sisters, my brothers, the council, the elders, shit, that's really all I need. We suited, we booted, don't do it, you stupid, we head to the armory. Black woman and goddess, regardless, my heart just don't fuck with misogyny. Bullshit, I don't tolerate it. Melanated, so you gotta hate it. Barack fucked up another conversation. Trump finna get inaugurated, damn. Unify or die, NBPP.org.
First and foremost, the new Black Panther Party, no other Black Panther Party, we are not violent. We are for self-defense and self-determination. The most violent group in this country are the police. What is taking place by the police departments to black people across this country is ethnic cleansing and genocide. It has escalated since the day that Barack Obama was inaugurated in 2008. We have a people who are only 13% of the population, yet we make up 80% of the prisons. We have 50% unemployment rate in the black community, and it's actually even more than that because they're not counting our people that are in the prison. The 13th Amendment says you cannot be made a slave or indentured servant unless you commit a crime. The 14th Amendment forced our people to be subjects of this government. We never had any say in that. We need our own nation.
The moment that is bound to shape the future.
I got a letter from the government. The other day, I opened and read it. They telling me to get it. It said that the message I was bringing brought destruction. I put the pants in the bag and said, fuck them. Here's a land that never gave a damn about a brother like me from the jump. They'd rather see me slump, face down, shot 5 or 6 times with my kids and my mama in the cop car, brown and I'm done. Stop lying, it's a black and white thing. Redneck ass judges, rather watch a nigga hang than indict what's white, not right. Fuck a newsfeed, black man got the same needs as the Jews need. Who me? I demand reparation, fuck a cowboy. I'm a native, rather of my nation, I'm an African. Black man, fucked out, my language got me praying to a white boy God. That's insane, and if you ask me, why they steadily harass me? I reply with that, these motherfuckers nasty. And I'm a god, yet they calling me a nigga. They scared of me, so they try to hide behind the trigger, acting badass. Fuck a honky with the badge, I'm a nigga with an attitude. You can kiss my black ass. Ain't no sense in niggas being diplomatic. Televise the revolution, let these motherfuckers have it. I'm calling up the prepared to come through. And I run with the niggas, they scared to come shoot. Take an eye for an eye, take a tooth for tooth. Do unto others as them others would do all to you. And all they say is make America great. What America hates, kept America straight and America safe. Motherfuck that flag. My people are not free, we wanna touch that flag. So quick to try to copyright what came for free. Now they blaming me, and it's plain to see that they mad at that. Like I'm a magic act, yeah, imagine that. Motherfucker, I'm black, fucking vultures. Super quick to steal one's culture, trying to make it your own. Caveman, go home. Over 10 long nose, funny looking ass Donald. Got his nerve disrespecting President Obama. If you don't want us around, then let us leave. Pay the money you've been owing my people since they were set free. That 40 acres and a mule never came, but yet we're still outstanding. Outstanding in the rain, just waiting, pacing, pacing, and praying for God to step up. But nah, it ain't shit shaking. I was mistaken, thinking scripture could've helped us. Following the faith of our very own oppressors. No justice, just us. Look at how the aftermath of slavery today still affects us. Our kids educated by the enemy, and they don't know shit about their history. Cause they ain't teaching that school. Leave it up to them coons, and all that's cool. Let the bygones be bygones. And besides, we've been killing off our homes. Shut the fuck up, you know what? Uncle Tom, house niggas, slaves, see they motherfucking nuts cut. I pack steel in the hour of the chaos. If black lives still don't matter till you stay out.
In a one night for shows, I'm juggling. Flow like the ocean, my boat, I'm paddling. Cherishing a fella, that's my bro, my family. Rose in jail. When it comes to money, I take concentrate. Make I tell you straight, you are not my mate. If you become mission, I'll be head of state. But my people then go say, I know one buy, I know one die, I know one payment. I want enjoy, I want job life, I want buy motor, I want build house, I still want donor. Tell me, money go, what's it gonna be? You are gone, all depends. Think I can ride the whip. I no fit, die for nothing. My nigga, what's it gonna be? You are gone, all depends. Think I can ride the whip. I no fit, die for nothing. Oh, no, I fall now. Yeah.
Here we are. Here we are. Here's for the people.
Egyptian mummies on a flag or a moon, and can't find food for the starving tummies. Pay no mind to the youth, cause it's not like the future depends on it. But save the animals in the zoo, cause the chimpanzee them a make big money. This is how the media villages on TV the picture is. Savages the villages and the scientists still can't explain the pyramids. Evangelists making a living on the videos of ribs of the little kids, stereotyping the image of the images, and this is what the image is. You buy a coffee pants and all of a sudden you are there in Indiana Jones. And I keep out the gold and keep out the scrolls and even the bird bones. Some of the worst paparazzi I've ever seen and ever known. Put the words on this place that the world can see and it's all that we'll ever show. So the ones in the west will never move east and feel like we'll be at home. Get tricked by the beast but the way them a go flee when the monster is fully grown. Salamonic line is where them two can defeat and them could have never clone. A spiritual DNA that prints in my soul and I will forever own, Lord.
Yeah. Savali. Patience. What the old folks told me. Can you get with that? Discovering a world before this world. A world buried in time. Uncovered with rhyme. Gets no realer.
We born not knowing, are we born knowing all? We growing wiser, are we just growing tall? Can you read thoughts? Can you read palms? Can you predict the future? Can you see storms coming? The earth was flatted, you went too far, you would fall off. Now the earth is round, if the shape changed again, everybody would have started off. The average man can't prove up most of the things that he chooses to speak of. And still run research and find out the roots of the truth that you seek of. Got us teaching universities and claim like they're smart and cunning. Tell them find a cure when we sneeze and that's when their nose starts running. And the rich get fixed up when we get cut. Wanna heal them broken bones in the bush with the wet mud. Can you resign? Can you restart? Can you make peace? Can you fight war? Can you milk cows? Even though you drive cars, can you survive against all odds now?
It's crazy. When you feed people the truth, you don't know how they're gonna react. You're scared of wrongdoers, people that's just ignorant. You're scared of the truth. For now, who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Quran? And was it a lightning storm that gave birth to the earth and then dinosaurs were born? Who made up words? Who made up numbers? And what kind of spell is mankind under? Everything on the planet we preserve and can it. Microwave it and try it, no matter what, we'll survive it. What's you? What's man? What's human? Anything along the land we consuming. Eating, deleting, ruining. Trying to get paper.
What?
Gotta have land, gotta have acres. So I can sit back like Jack Nicholson, watch niggas play the game like the Lakers. In a world full of 52 fakers, gypsies, seances, mystical prayers. You superstitious, throw salt over your shoulders, make a wish for the day cuz. Like somebody got a doll of me, sticking needles in my artery, but I can't feel it. Sometimes it's like part of me, but I got a real big spirit. I'm fearless, I'm fearless. Don't you try to grab hold of my soul. It's like a military soldier, since 7 years old. I held real dead bodies in my arms. Felt
they body turn cold. Oh, why are we born in the first place if this is how we gotta go? Stay. To all the wisdom and knowledge seekers of the world. Savali. Patience. Yeah.
Savali, patience. Black power. You are listening to the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense nightly broadcast. Tonight, brothers and sisters, promises to not only be thought-provoking, but it will definitely be very, very informative. We are broadcasting to you live here in the belly of the beast in America, KKK, and we want to send a special salute and shout-out to all of our people who are listening in the many countries of Africa, on the motherland of the continent of Africa. As we know, it is late in the evening, yet we have so many people who are popping up on the chart that are listening. Shouts out to everyone that are listening to us in South America, Central America, UK, Canada, Australia, Japan, the Caribbean islands, and last and certainly not least, to our brothers and sisters right here in the belly of the beast with us in America, KKK. Who are continuing to not only support the broadcast, but also supporting the new Black Panther Party and all of the very powerful and extremely dedicated people throughout the diaspora who come to our broadcast on a nightly basis. As you all know, Thursday nights are dedicated to our Pan-African news and information and business reports. And our host, Brother Eugene Talford of the New African Network, is here tonight representing ETC Logistics. Brother Eugene, mic check. Are you here, brother?
Yes, Black Power Sisters, thank you for having me on the program tonight. This is Brother Eugene reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina. One love,
and thank you, Brother Eugene. We also have, I see this 215, his mic is open. That should be our special guest tonight, Brother Keith Williams. Mic check, Brother Keith. Can you hear us?
Thanks for having me. Can you guys hear me?
Oh, yeah. You're coming in loud and clear, man. It's not only a great honor for us to host you tonight. We are extremely excited. You know, not only are, you know, we've been given so much information about what's going on in Africa, but for you to come forth to address a very key component in regards to commercial banking and investment, and not only in Africa, but specifically in West Africa and Ghana, you've got all of our ears perked up. So without any further ado, I want to turn the mic over to Brother Eugene so that he can give you your proper introduction, and we're going to jump all the way into this. Everyone who's listening, if you want to participate in the discussion, press 1. You will be put in the queue in order that you press 1, and at a latter part of tonight, you will also get to weigh in on the conversation. So without further ado, Brother Eugene, you have the floor. Black Power, King.
Ah, Black Power, sister, thank you. Jumbo and Habara Ghani, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to this evening's New Black Panther, New African Network, Thursday night business broadcast. This is Thursday, November 18th, 2021. Hey, man, the year is almost over, huh? Went by pretty fast this year. And I'm your host, Brother Eugene Talford, reporting live from Charlotte, North Carolina, the New Black Panther Party and the New African Network. Extend a big up to all our dynamic brothers and sisters tuning in each and every week. We are Black Grassroots Organizations United, over 300,000 members, networkers and affiliates operating together worldwide. Black businesses, Black activists, Black for-profit and nonprofit organizations working together to make a difference. Economics is Black power. Tuka Pamoja, we are together. All power to the people. All power to the people. As usual, we send a big Asante to go out to Dada Krista Muhammad and all the dynamic new Black Panther Party nation builders and people forever making it difference. As usual, a big shout out to all of our supporters, our sponsors, our contributors, our business partners, our Black Nation troops and security teams, the New Black Panther, Black Cross Medical and Social Workers team. We also want to give a big shout out to the New African Network Board of Directors, our team members and affiliates from all over the world, Exquisite Import-Export Trading Company, doing business as ETC Logistics, your one-stop shop network for international trade and logistics. We give a big shout out to that business organization. Let's not forget people like you, Tuka Pamoja. We are together. We are one United African peoples. We are one United Africa. Let's jump the night off with tonight's highlights from the African stock market and exchange report. And as usual, we have Ghana first up. The Ghana Stock Exchange closed at 3,063. It was up by 0.02%, reflecting a plus at 0.60 on the index. Year to date, the market was also up at 1,005,904. That's a plus at 54.54%. The market capped out at $65.68 billion on the GHS, and that was the close of the day on the Ghanaian Stock Exchange. Next up, we have the Johannesburg Stock Exchange closing at 70,866.57. It was down by 0.11%, reflecting a negative 75.77 on the index. Year to date, the market was up at 11,557.89. That was a plus on the index at 19.29%. The market capped out at 18.79 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the ZAR. Next up, we have the Nairobi Stock Exchange. The market closed at 169.50. It was down by 0.12%, reflecting a change at negative 0.20. Year to date, the market was up at 17.39%. reflecting 11.43% on the index. The market capped out today at 2.57 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the KES. Next up, we have the Nigerian Stock Exchange closing at 43,285.97. It was down by 0.15% on the index. This reflected a negative at minus 63.93. However, year to date, the market was up at 3,001,525 at 7.49%. The market capped out at 22.6 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the NGN. Next up, we have the Zimbabwe Stock Exchange closing at 11,818.24. It was down by 1.24% on the index. This reflected a negative at 148.28. However, year to date, the market was up at 9,181.90. That was a tremendous increase at that time at a tremendous gain at that time at 34.29%. The market capped out at 1.43 trillion, and that was the end of the day on the ZWL. And last and final, we have the New York Stock Exchange. New York Stock Exchange closing today at 17,117.74. It was down by 0.44%. This reflected a negative at 74.92 on the index. Year to date, the market was also up at 2,741.04. That was a tremendous increase and a percentage rate of 19.07%. That was the end of the 52-week high, which turned out to be at 17,312.94. And that was the closing today on the New York Stock Exchange. Black Nation Rising. This is day 624. reporting since the pandemic, Babylonian nations creating and utilization of weapons of mass destruction on the people. The topic of tonight, commercial financing. And we'll also talk about investing opportunities in Ghana, West Africa. But let's get it clear and an understanding about what is commercial financing. And commercial financing has a definition. It is a function of offering of loans to businesses, where most commercial banks offer commercial financing, and loans are either secured by business assets and alternatively can be unsecured, where the lender relies on the cash flow of a business to repay for the facility. What is its purpose? The purpose of a commercial financing is to ensure that a business, regardless of size, can thrive in growth and reach its target for growth rather than wait to generate cash over a long period of time. It is an essential way of providing working capital for a business. What are the commercial loans examples? Well, for one, it is how a loan is used to buy equipment or building or obtaining manpower. It can sometimes be a loan, or it can be credit cards, and the list goes on. There are three types of financing. One is debt financing. Two, it is equity financing. And three, it may be a combination of the two. It comes from banks or financial institutions. Sometimes it could be government loan programs. For instance, we have SBA here in the United States, and we also have over in Africa the African Development Bank and the Afric Bank, which provide loan for development. What is the difference between corporate financing and commercial financing? Well, the world of corporate financing deals with small, medium, and large businesses that are considered institutions rather than an individual. However, commercial banking, on the other hand, deals with mostly individuals, although smaller businesses sometimes fall under the category of being sponsored by retail banks, and it depends on the circumstances. What is commercial finance business partners? They are accountants who are working closely with a particular business or a unit, creating real and active partnership with both the operations and the management sector of a given business. The roles is to provide a real-time support and analysis to be trusted, and the advisors are added value to the asset, which therefore gives the leaders of the organization key decision-making information. One may ask, how do you get a commercial finance or financing? There are five steps. One is to identify the property that would be used under a contract or perhaps business operation. Second, you will prepare a financial package. This is submitted to a bank or institution, and the bank or the institution will provide you with a final quote. To choose a loan product afterwards, and then from there is a due diligence process that takes place, which leads to the closing of the loan. The six principles of finance. One is money has time value. Higher returns are expected. Diversification of the investment in which the money is utilized. Markets are efficient and provide a scale of source of security. Managers and stockholders may differ, but however, reputation always matters. We often speak about having a good and honorable reputation. It provides both the business person and their business, while it competes for business, the opportunity to retain. Well, speaking of commercial finance and investment, we have a very special guest tonight who has wanting to come on to the program for quite some time. And we want to welcome Mr. Keith Williams, Senior Commercial Banker with MVB Bank. He is the Senior Advisor and Anglophone Marketing for Anglophone Marketing Expansion at Jobel Max, and is the Senior Underwriter at MVB Bank. Brother Keith, welcome to the New Black Panther, New Africa Network Thursday Night Business Broadcast, brother. How are you?
Brother, thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to speak with like-minded brothers. Just looking forward to advancing the economies in Africa.
That's what's up, brother. Well, it's delightful. It's a pleasure to have you on this evening. And so we'll start out a little bit. Let's start out for you, you know, just telling us in the audience a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into some dialogue about your business background. You have the floor, brother.
Yeah, sure. I'm out of Philadelphia. Went to school, Delaware State University, for my bachelor's in finance. Currently at St. Joseph's University, getting my MBA in international business and financing as well. For the last 10 years, I've been in commercial banking, specifically as a commercial underwriter, working in the small business, commercial level, middle market, and a little bit of corporate finance as well. So mainly I've underwritten loan sizes anywhere from a couple of hundred thousand to $25 million. I've seen some larger deals as well. The main sectors I've worked in has mainly been debt financing, specifically on commercial real estate, C&I, which is pretty much any kind of business, commercial and industrial, government financing, which also includes SBA. And I've done that now for three different banks, currently at MVB Bank, working on SBA deals, primarily financing startup businesses, you know, companies looking for working capital, companies looking to expand. You know, this is where I primarily have my expertise and cut my teeth in the business. So as far as, you know, valuation process, I have a good understanding of cash flow analysis, collateral, you know, projection-based deals. In addition to my work at the bank as a commercial underwriter, I'm also with Jobel Max, you know, working with them, leading their expansion teams into new markets in West Africa. Right now, we are working on expanding into Ghana, and our company currently has exposure in Guinea, in West Africa, right around Conakry, where we built about 100 homes there. And Sierra Leone, we just started developments a couple of months ago where we're working on a 25-unit site. And in Ghana, we are in the midst of starting a development there in the negotiation process, but definitely going in the right direction.
Wow. That definitely sounds like that's been some very exciting stuff for you to be engaged in on. And especially we always talk about here on the New Black Panther, New African Network Thursday Night Business Broadcast about the jumpstart of the African Industrial Revolution that's currently taking place. And we have been informing the black community about how they can become more engaged and some of the business opportunities not only exist there, but some of the business opportunities that they can export from here in the United States to Africa as a part of that industrial surge that's taking place. Now, you said that you are doing a little business in Ghana right now.
Yes,
can you
yes.
tell us how that have come about and what had motivated you to be in the banking sector as a part of that development as well?
Good question. Well, I first started my journey off with my first visit to Ghana in 2019. I had no clue about the year of return. I literally just had bought a ticket months in advance. I knew I was going to Ghana because obviously Kwame Nkrumah and the contributions he made. And, you know, it also being a stable country, stable democracy, I knew that was the place I wanted to go. So I first got there January 2019, and obviously I did all the things that any African-American would do, right? I went to the castle, met the people, got to sightsee along the beaches and in the main capital city. But once I got there, I realized how wide open business was just in West Africa in general and Ghana. I mean, everywhere I went, there was, tons of incremental building when it came to real estate where people were just, slowly building homes little by little. And obviously that's a function of limited finance. So the first thing I thought in my eyes was, try to purchase some land, try to get financing back from the States, maybe build some houses. It's quite obvious that Ghana has a large housing deficit. It's at 2 million units, growing by, 170,000 a year. So there's a huge problem there. But the first thing I encountered is the litigation issues that are rampant in Africa. And I had read a report, their 2020 fiscal report, and it said that Ghana had specifically 38,000 active litigation cases. And obviously most of those people are locals. So that kind of made me, pump the brakes and not rush into, buying land. So when I got back to the States after that trip, the first thing I thought was, if there was a company, American company that was building homes in West Africa and also offered financing from the States, that would be a huge opportunity. Not only because there's a housing deficit, but because we know financing is extremely expensive in West Africa. Just in Ghana alone, I mean, interest rates are 16%+ or more. Amortizations are very short. So you're looking at amortizations of anywhere from 7 to 10 years if you're lucky. And there's low mortgage penetration rates as well. So most people are self-financing their homes, which slows down development. So I teamed up with this company called Jobomax that builds homes in West Africa as an advisor to push into the Ghanaian market. And the reason I've been so passionate about that market is because I had made some personal investments. I ended up purchasing a flat in Ghana in a place called Apollonia City. I think Voda Maya did a video on it. I'm very interested in finance and construction. The construction space in Ghana is wide open, and there's no such thing as competition because there's so much need in that part of the world. So.
For sure, brother. Travels going to many of the countries there, the infrastructure itself needs badly improved. And, of course, with the new African Continental Free Trade Agreement that's taking place, we see massive construction moving towards that, and there is financing available for companies who do want to get into the infrastructure game arena to be able to get some of those contracts. So the region in where you currently have your accommodations at, tell us a little bit about the people and the culture and that part, that sector of Ghana.
Man, the people are very, very welcoming. I remember my first trip. Literally, I was in the homes of strangers my first trip, like multiple times having dinner. People invited me over. The people are just great, man. Very humble, very down to earth. Sometimes you can get in issues where, the price is higher, but that comes with the territory, right? But beyond that, I've always received nothing but love being in West Africa. And I've been in many different West African countries. I've been in Liberia. I've been in Sierra Leone. And I've also been in Uganda, which is obviously in East Africa. So.
Yeah, many years ago, I worked for a doctor out of Washington, D.C. I think she was with, forget the name of the hospital that he was with, but a very big hospital. We ended up doing a feasibility study for Uganda, Kampala, and was able to put a facility up to where people can come get examination and stuff like that. But I understand it was located near Lake Victoria, which is a very beautiful place, I understand.
I stayed there.
Did not have the opportunity to travel there, but certainly, you know, from the information that I had received and pictures of the site where they built the actual complex at, it looks to be very beautiful. You said you are doing a little business in Sierra Leone. And
sure.
Just recently we had a brother come on this show. You probably are familiar with him as well, Brother Dinus Amir with
yes,
Search for Yahoo organization. And he, as well as a brother, Brethren Coleman with the Afro Diaspora News Network, are currently over there in Sierra Leone. And it's been big word about Sierra Leone offering dual citizenship. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And I think you said you had been pursuing that as well. Am I correct?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about the dual citizenship program in Sierra Leone. What I've been told is that if you're doing a DNA test and you have, that DNA and you can get citizenship, but I'm not sure of the details and you know, how quickly that comes. What I can say is I think that's a real important piece for us to really be able to do business in West Africa efficiently, because we need the rights and privileges of local citizens to be able to establish businesses and also to be able to have the same land rights as locals. I mean, just in Ghana, for instance, my property there, you know, I have a 75-year lease. If I was a citizen, it would be a 100-year lease. So it's things mm-hmm. like that would make life a lot easier, and it would make investment. You would be more confident as an investor going in if you had citizenship. But one thing I wanted to touch on about Sierra Leone is that the one thing that makes Jobomax special and our construction efforts in West Africa, there's many construction companies in West Africa, but the main thing we're selling is we offer in-house financing to diasporans. So if you were looking to buy a house in Sierra Leone and one of our developments there, we will finance you directly from the States in U.S. dollars. That would be over a 10-year period, a 10% interest, which is high from American standards, but obviously from West African standards is very low. And all we require is a 30% down payment, which will allow a 2-year payment plan off. So it makes it easy for our brothers and sisters that are looking to go and build and do something easier, because we've all heard the stories of people sending money back to the continent to some contractor that never quite builds the home, or they build a piece of it, or they get scammed out of money. And for us, everything is done here in the States using U.S. contracts. We have an office right here in Philadelphia. So.
Right. That saves you the headache.
I got a couple of questions.
Please.
You got my ears all perked up, brother. First of all, once again, thank you, Brother Keith, for coming on our broadcast and for, you know, breaking down the business side of what this is going to take. There's a plane flying over. I don't know if y'all can hear it. Okay, but I myself do commercial financing. I'm kind of familiar with your in realm of what you're speaking on, but did you say that your company is it Jobomax? Is it J-O-B-O? How do you spell that?
Yeah, J-O-B-O Max. You can if you go on the website, you'll see me there. But yeah, Jobomax.
Okay. So did you mention that you guys not only do financing, but you have a construction arm to it as well?
Yeah, so it's two separate entities, but we work hand in hand. So we have a construction company that builds the homes, and then we have a finance arm that finances the homes. We don't do custom building. We don't do one-off types of developments. It's always a site of 20, 25 homes. So, like, communities is what we build. And we, like I said, we finance it directly from the states. It's been successful for the last 6 years. So
with that, it opens up a ton of questions. So, first, how is the American dollar to the Ghanaian dollar? And as far as, like, you know, cost of land and development, is there a set off between paying a higher interest rate and getting a lower maybe material cost or land purchase, or is it almost the same? So I guess that's about three questions, right?
Yeah, I mean, Ghana is not as cheap as people think. I mean, the land costs are getting really expensive, a lot more expensive than they were just 3 years ago, especially in the developing parts, East Legon, even Apollonia, where I have a place, is getting more expensive. But I think the biggest expense is really not dealing with the right people when it comes to acquiring land there. You guys have all heard the stories. And this one company that we're going to use to purchase land is a company called Apollonia City. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of it before. But the parent company of Apollonia City is this company called Renovare. And Renovare is a company that goes into different African countries, and they buy hectares of land. They have land in the Congo, Zambia, Nigeria, and Kenya, I believe, and Ghana. And what they do is they make it so, you know, you don't have any litigation issues, you don't have any land guard issues, because they manage the land. They help you with development as far as construction goes. They have in-house contractors that you can work with. And they also do everything in-house, from approval of architectural plans to helping you find an architect. And that's where we are right now in the process. We haven't actually built anything in Ghana, but we signed a contract, and we are in the process of getting our architectural plans approved for the units we're going to build there. But to answer your question more directly, property prices are not that cheap in Ghana. I mean, they're really comparable to some of the stuff you'll see in the States as far as the higher end builds. I mean, of course you can find lower end stuff for, you know, $30,000-$40,000, but the build quality is not going to be what you expect.
Okay. And then also, as far as, you know, like when we do a transaction here, is there a, does your company also have underwriters that do the insurance there, or are there insurance companies there that locally that is used? How does insurance play into this?
Yeah, so as far as the underwriting for the loan, that's all done in-house here in the States, and all dealt in U.S. dollars, U.S. contracts. As far as insurance for the properties, that's something that you'll have to go to the private sector for to find. What I can say in Sierra Leone and Ghana, I mean, there are companies that offer insurance on the properties, and the rates are half of what you would pay here in the States. We obviously have an interest in making sure nothing happens to the property, because, you know, until the home is paid off, we hold title, and then we relinquish title once it's paid off, just like any transaction you would do here. But yeah, you can get insurance in those countries.
So is the insurance underwriter, you said, it's underwritten locally or from a carrier here in the States?
It will be done locally.
Wonderful, wonderful. And then another question I have. So I got my DNA from African ancestry back and a few months ago, and I find that my people are from Guinea-Bissau. I'm not sure if that is would be a country that would be considered. What is the terminology you use? Democratically stable, but is there opportunity to do development?
No, I just laughed because the first country we started building in was Guinea, and obviously that's not as stable as it was when we first moved into the market with the issues they're having there with their president. But, yeah, I mean, the countries we prefer to deal in are stable democracies. So Ghana is very attractive to us. I mean, we've also looked in places like Liberia, where I was 2 years ago for the company, prospecting for opportunities. We have Senegal as a place that's in contention for us to build in as well. But right now the focus is primarily on our active projects in Guinea, Sierra Leone, and our upcoming project in Ghana.
So is that a no right now for Guinea-Bissau, or is it something that people need to be looked at?
For right now, it's a no. We're not even looking at it now. But, I mean, I wouldn't rule that out as something we would do in the future. I mean, the goal is to become the number one provider for housing for the diaspora. So currently, the market that we sell to, I would say about 90-plus.
Okay. I think we lost him. Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Eugene. Okay. Can you hear Brother Keith?
Brother Keith, are you
My
there?
Chair, oh, he fell off. He fell off. He's going to have to call right back in. While we have Brother Keith calling back in, we got our National Minister of Culture on the line, Brother Greg. I know the young queen wants to, young princess wants to give us some positive energy. Okay, he's back.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm right back. Our customers are primarily the recent diaspora that live in the States and the UK. We've done some local sales, but most our bread and butter is people here in the diaspora. And that's why for us, that's why Ghana is so attractive, because we believe that's where the most opportunity is for African Americans to purchase homes in a way where they're getting good quality builds. We're providing financing, and we're making that transaction as easy as possible. I mean, purchasing my home in Ghana, I mean, was not the easiest, most seamless process when I did it. Just trying to navigate that process was nerve-wracking. I mean, I attempted to get a mortgage with Ghana Home Loans, which is the biggest mortgage provider in Ghana. And that process was really discombobulated and just not straightforward. So I ended up self-financing it through an equity loan for my primary residence.
All right. Yeah,
that
so,
seemed like.
And is it only residential? Are you guys doing it, say, in commercial finance? Say, if someone wants to put up a hotel or a resort, is that in the table?
It's something we want to do in the future. The biggest challenge we're having is, since we're a U.S.-based company and we have investors and people that have an interest in the company, one of the biggest issues is title. Making sure we secure title for our investors, and we've managed to be successful in that in Guinea and Sierra Leone. Obviously, we have to learn the process in Ghana. But once we get better at managing that part of the business, it would make it easy for us to expand out and offer financing for commercial property, whether it be, for a commercial industrial type of business or a hotel or whatever the case may be. I mean, that's something that we want to go after, and really this is low-hanging fruit, because if an American company like ours decides to provide financing in West Africa, there's a lot of money to be made, because you can literally undercut the market, you can undercut the rates that are being charged locally, and you can still have a really healthy margin of profit. So it's something that we definitely want to expand upon down the road.
Thank you so much. I was trying to come off of mute. Yeah, thank you so much. So go ahead, Brother Eugene. I know you got some questions, because, I got buku questions. I don't want to hog the mic.
Please.
Go ahead, Brother Eugene.
Yeah, no problem. Definitely. That's what we do. We tag team right here.
So we definitely going to be shooting out some questions if people are very interested in knowing more about how they can get engaged. And thank you, listeners. If you're just tuning in, this is the New Black Panther, New African Network Thursday night business broadcast. I'm Brother Eugene, along with Sister Crystal Muhammad, and we have our special guest on the show, Brother Keith Williams with MVB Bank and also Jobo Max Company of Ghana. And so the brothers come on to share some very vital and important information about how can the Afro diaspora get more engaged from both the banking and financing, commercial financing standpoint of view, and also the resources that are required to get yourselves connected in Ghana, also in Sierra Leone and Guinea and a few other places on the continent where they're doing some extraordinary work. Brother Keith, with your experience that you've had over, I think you said you first took your journey there to Ghana, the Year of Abode. And for those of you who don't know what the Year of Abode is, in 2019, the country Ghana opened up its doors of known and coined it the Year of Return for the African diaspora. And so there were hundreds and thousands of brothers and sisters who landed in Ghana, especially here from the United States. We have many of our athletes and musicians and actors and actresses. They went over for the Year of Abode, and it was a big festival, but it also had some very significant meaning to come together to discuss the African diaspora's participation in building up Africa, and also getting ourselves reconnected, some things that we've had to endure from our ancestors departed and came here to the United States. And so 2019 was a pilgrimage for many of our brothers and sisters from the U.S. Who were, maybe some of them, were perhaps the first generation to step foot back on the continent itself. So, Brother Keith, with your development aspects, you know, Sister Dr. Erikana Turumbera-Kwa, she's currently spearheading the Wakanda One project, which is very similar to the Akon City project that's taking place in Senegal. Certainly what you are offering from your company, Jobo Max, is an opportunity to be able to develop urban infrastructure, urban housing, and perhaps even some rural areas that need to be transformed, especially right now with the increase of the Ghanaian dollar valuation going up. As you say, market prices for land there is definitely increasing. But we do know the Africans living here in the United States have a very a good income that they can use to invest in an area like that and be a part of that. Tell us a little bit about your background and experience as far as the investment opportunity. Where can our brothers and sisters get in on the ground floor at? What are some of the lucrative opportunities that they can get in outside of the real estate industry?
Yeah, finance is definitely a piece that we discussed. The low-hanging fruit is going to be infrastructure, agriculture, and real estate. Those are going to be the best opportunities to invest on the continent. I've been thinking about this lately, and this kind of comes back to citizenship. I think if the continent had a program, or at least a citizenship for investment program, I think that would create so much engagement for us and people that want to invest on the continent and want to establish businesses. Because not only is it a feel-good thing, but it gives you the same rights and privileges of any local citizen to establish a business without the high cost, capital costs associated with establishing a foreign entity. in Ghana, which, you know, for us is a little easier because, you know, we have investors and people that make it easy for us to meet those capital requirements. But for mm-hmm. people that are not citizens or don't have the capital to establish companies there, you have to work with a local citizen on the ground, you know, which if you don't know anybody can be a very complicated task. But still, all in all, there's so many opportunities in the tech space as well. You know, internet service is not the best there. Service-based businesses, there's always room for that. Of course, the Ghanaian economy is dominated by service-based businesses, which is not good long-term. We need more manufacturing-based businesses there. But there is opportunity. You just kind of have to find your niche. You got to know what to look. I would say don't rush into any opportunity there. You know, take your time. Make sure you do some market studies if you can. And hook up with some people that are on the ground already doing business. You know, one thing about West Africa, if you don't have people on the ground, you know, managing your affairs, things are going to be very difficult. And that's what makes it easy for us. I mean, we hire locally for all of our construction activities. We have local construction, a local construction team consisting of engineers, architects. We have lawyers there. We have day laborers. The only operations that are conducted here in the States are obviously our CEO that runs the company. Our underwriting is done here in the States, but everything from a labor perspective is local, and that's really the way to be successful on the continent.
Right. Wonderful. For sure.
Did you mention, Brother Keith, that there's opportunity for funding for agriculture?
There is. I'm not well versed in that space, but I mean it's quite obvious when the majority of these countries are importing more food than they're exporting, right? I mean that's a problem, and that's also an opportunity in a place that has an abundance of land. So for anyone that has a green thumb, there is ample opportunity for that. But also not just farming, I mean, all the ancillary services that go along with that. I mean, refrigeration, transportation, all the sectors that go hand in hand with farming are opportunities for us. And one thing that has made me really excited over the last couple of years is I remember when I first started going to West Africa, I would see, you know, one of us every once in a while, right? And then the more I go back, the more I meet African-American brothers that are there owning property, owning land, you know, have established businesses, and it's a beautiful thing. I mean, we're here to come. So I'm really excited about the future.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. The reason I was asking, now, Jumbo Max, clearly you fund in Africa, but do you fund here? Because I was visualizing, you know, like, we have property in Louisiana that we're, you know, priming for agriculture. But I was like, what can we grow here and you know, in turn, export there, and what can be grown in Ghana that we import here? So I just wondered, is there any type of way to do some type of a export?
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there is. I mean, I wouldn't be the best person to tell you exactly what to import export because I'm not in that business per se. But one thing I can say is if you are trying to establish a company here in the States, as far as financing goes, that's something I can help you out with. I know the ins and outs of how to structure a deal. I know the ins and outs of credit policy on a commercial level, and I know exactly what banks are looking for, especially whether it be an existing business, whether it be a startup business. I mean, the banking industry is pretty straightforward. I mean, the standards are typically the same across the board when it comes to getting a commercial loan here in the States. The thing that really inhibits us as a people from getting these commercial loans are the high equity requirements. So to get a business loan in the States, for real estate, you're looking at anywhere from 10 to 30% down based on the class of real estate that you're purchasing. It can be less than some banking institutions. But for a startup business, if you go the conventional route, which is going to give you a lower rate, you're looking at anywhere from, 10 to 20% equity in, and that's the total project cost. So if it costs you $200,000 to come up with the business, you can do the math. But one opportunity that I think that a lot of us don't really look into is SBA financing. Now, there's an area where you can finance a startup business with as little as 5% equity. I've seen it in some cases where they'll finance the whole thing. They'll finance up to 100% of the acquisition or the establishment of a new business. The thing there is your credit has to be good, at least a 700 or more. I've seen them as low as a 680 being accepted, even lower if you have an explanation for why it's that low, and it's maybe a one-time thing. But there's opportunities for us to get financing. And we really need to start looking into more SBA opportunities. Not only are the equity requirements lower, but you can typically finance a business over a longer period of time, up to 25 years if real estate's involved. So, that's something if you want to have a conversation about that offline, I can walk you through what it would take for you to get financing to even start something like that in the States to connect with people on the continent to distribute to.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Wow.
Yeah.
And we told you guys, this brother's got a lot of key jewels that we need. And we try to make, and Eugene is very good with making this broadcast this Thursday night, not only business, but breaking it down, very practically and very, clearly. Like you said, it's not really rocket science if you know what the expectation is. So, we greatly appreciate that. So for everyone that's listening that's on the line, this is the opportunity now for you to press 1. And Brother Eugene, I know he has more that he wants to ask. But
There she goes.
There she goes.
There she goes. That's the Minister of Power.
Yes, we have our
Black Power.
I got him to send a copy of that to me. We turning that into a ringtone. One more time.
Yeah,
one more time. Black Power.
Yo.
Thank you, Princess. Yes, Minister of Culture, Brother Greg. Baby,
yeah,
Black Power.
Yeah, I have to go in and out. Trying to get her settled down. She's something else. Tonight was probably the first rough little patch. I won't even say a rough night, just a little rough moment, because she's been taking martial arts for almost a month now, and they have an age group between 3 and 5 year olds, and from day one they said, nah, that's not for her. So they put her with the kids that are a little older because she caught on so fast. So
wow.
Tonight going over a couple of things, she was a little a little lack of control. So that's why I had to go back and forth but she's about to eat her some soup. But another great
show. You're about to settle down, though. That doesn't sound like you're about to settle down, Brother Greg. I'm trying to tell you.
She's not gonna settle down, as of yet. But
she's 3 years old, right? To be 3 years old again.
Well, listen, I shared this once before. My other kids are older, 34, 32, actually almost 33, 31, and 28. So there's a 25 year gap between, you know, my last two, and there are 9 grandchildren, you know, in between there. So,
wow, inshallah.
You know, so it's like, thank you. So
yeah,
you know,
that's a blessing, brother.
So a lot of things, you know, and this is just me personally, you know, my experience. You know, it's like riding a bike, you know. I had a guy on the bus ask me the other day, and he kind of wanted to catch me off guard. He said, well, who's your favorite? I said, none of them are my favorite. They're all different. They just got different characters and personalities. But, you know, after 25 years, you know, of saying no, I'll never have another child, you know, it's just a different, you know, experience. But, you know, she's fantastic with her 3-month-old puppy. So a 3-year-old and a 3-month-old puppy, and that's a combination. But great show tonight. I tell you, I've been saying this, you know, since almost 2 weeks now. You know, Tuesday and Thursday. Those are, you know, my, you know, back home to Africa, you know, packages there. You know, but a great, great show, great information. I know a lot of people are listening, and I'm pretty sure someone has a question or two out there to hit that number one button. I'm pretty sure.
Oh yeah,
I'm pretty.
No
sure.
No doubt. We do. I just wanted to give you an opportunity. I know your daughter was probably climbing on top of your head to say Black Power. She normally,
yes, she was.
Brother Keith, she normally starts our show off. You know, so.
Yeah.
We gotta have that energy. So yeah, we have a caller out of the 302 area code. 302, what is your name? And what city are you calling from, and what is your question and or comment? 302. Oh wow, the phone dropped as soon as I opened them up. Hopefully they'll call back in. 302 area code, call back in. Yep, so everyone press 1. We have a lot of people in this call block, a lot of people, you know, so, and of course, the switchboard, the majority of our people listen online. So, Brother Keith, while we're waiting on the 302, I see that they're back. Hold on. 302, you're back. Did you have a question or comment, or did you press number 1 on mistake? 302, Erico, your mic is open.
Take your phone
302
off mute.
Area code. Come on off of mute. Okay, we're just gonna assume that this is, I don't recognize this area code. So maybe that was the first time caller that pressed 1 accidentally and got a little nervous when we opened them up. That does happen. So back to Brother Keith. You mentioned, I just wanted to get clarity. You said the property that you have, were you able to get ownership of it, or you have to do a 75-year lease? Is that something
So I have ownership of it, but what I was saying is the reason that citizenship is so important in West Africa is because even when you go to purchase land or purchase a property, your lease terms on that property differ from a local citizen. So, for example, the lease period can be anywhere from 50 to 75 years. With options to extend depending on where you buy. But for a citizen of Ghana, it would be 100 years. So, I mean, that's something that if you get in a situation where you have to pass down property down the line, I mean, you know, that can be a little scary, not having a full lease as someone else. So I think that's a risk. And I think us having citizenship would mitigate that risk.
Okay, and then next, so you also mentioned there was a lot of litigation. Is the litigation because of people got caught up in the development, getting funding and with those high interest issues? That's one question. And then is it true, I've heard, maybe Eugene, Keith, that some places in Ghana were actually offering land for people who wanted to come and develop on that land? Is that a fact?
Yeah, so as far as the litigation piece, I mean, there's over 38,000 active litigation cases in Ghana, and mainly what that consists of is individuals simply selling land over and over again. It's fraud in there as well. It's also an issue of their lands commission not, you know, keeping appropriate records in some cases, or people not conducting the right due diligence before they go and purchase land. I think it's important if you are going to purchase land in whatever West African country you're in, to not only not pay for that land up front, but to make sure that you consult with the land lawyer, make sure you consult with the local lands commission to make sure that the person that's selling you that land is actually the owner of that land. And as long as you follow those steps, you know, you should be fine. But, I mean, these cases do exist of people buying things and they go to build on it later. Then they find out that land is not theirs or was owned by somebody else, and that creates a whole mess. And that's why I said that the company Rendezvous, that has a development in Ghana called Apollonia City, is one of the safest places to buy in Ghana because they create an environment where there's no litigation issues, there's no land guard issues, where if you want to build a home there, they'll help you not only get local approval in their development, but also approval from the locale as well, to be able to build that home. And they offer in-house construction team and just different resources to really make that process as simple and easy as possible. As far as the land offerings, I don't have a lot of information on that. I have heard of different municipalities offering land to people. I'm not sure how that works or what they require, but I know they typically have a build requirement where if you get the land, you're required to build within a two-year period, or if not, the land goes back. So that's as much as I know. Maybe Brother Eugene has more information on that.
Yeah, many of the countries over there, they are beginning to have some dialogue, and many of its parliamentary or constitutional people who are controlling the transformation of their constitution are beginning to open up to being able to offer dual citizenship as a part of that repatriation or Africans from the diaspora interested in moving back to the continent as a part of that. But yeah, we just have to keep our eyes out to see where all of that is going in the very near future. Yeah. Of course, it's very brand new to them as well. Our native brothers and sisters who have been living there is very new to them as well. And all of us, that's the whole part of the year of abode and the year of return, was to come together, and especially those Ecowas nations where most of our ancestors, where we come from ourselves, are beginning to have dialogue across that and being able to get us reunited and connected. Of course, we're the missing piece of the puzzle that would definitely help propel Africa into its future. And so we are definitely wanting to unite wherever Africans in the diaspora want to be at on the continent. It is truly our land. And it is our right to be there. A little information about the country of Ghana. Ghana is a republic country in West Africa. It spans the Gulf of Guinea and the Atlantic Ocean, and is also bordered to Ivory Coast to the west, Burkina Faso to the north, and Togo to the east. And it is a country that is the second most populous outside of Nigeria. The capital is Accra, and some of the major cities include Kumasi, Tamale, and Sankodia, I believe. Sankodia. And the country is very much on the fast track right now as we're talking about the African Industrial Revolution as a part of the African Continental Free Trade Initiative that's taking place there. the country has very vital resources that could be tapped in and utilized to help propel the nation to its future. You know, Keith, some of the important things that have been coming up over the last few weeks was dialogue where many of the West African nations, and one has to be specifically Benin and Ghana, beginning to get some of their country artifacts back that was stolen during the invasion, the European invasion, with the cultural aspects of that. How is the art and music sector there? Is that a good resource of for our brothers and sisters to know about here who may be artists and may want to venture out and try something a little different? What is the culture like around that?
You know, that piece, I'm not really sure about. Kind of where my expertise is, it's just in the finance space and construction space in West Africa. But I wanted to kind of deviate from that question and make a comment based on some of the information you just gave in regard to the economy and the growth in the ECOWAS region. I think one of the biggest opportunities that's going to come down the pike in the short term and long term is the fact that China is not going to provide the same level of financing that they have historically, you know, over the last decades, as far as when it comes to big infrastructure, lofty infrastructure projects, the lofty raw material for infrastructure investment schemes that they've come along with. And the reason for that is because, you know, their economy right now is slowing down. They're having an energy crisis surrounded on coal. I mean, they have a huge reliance on coal. 70% of their country is powered by coal, and they have a shortage in their country. And one of their biggest suppliers, which is Australia, they're having some geopolitical issues with them in conjunction to the human rights issues that they're having with the Uyghurs in the north. The whole and also with their obligations to the Belt and Road Initiative, like I said, they're not going to finance as many projects as they have in the past, and that's going to leave it up to us to bring our money to finance infrastructure, to finance real estate, and also to convince American companies that Africa is a place that they should be invested in. Not only is it not as risky as people make it out to be, Africa is actually far less risky than people think as far as investment is concerned. But in this low-rate environment, U.S. companies are going to be on a search for yield. And what better place to get that yield than in West Africa, where there is so much opportunity to really overtake companies? So that's just something I wanted to add, but I have nothing for the art space.
One
thing what I wanted to bring up when I was talking about the agriculture, I was specifically I ran this by Brother Eugene earlier. I'm thinking more like on infrastructure, like green ways of incorporating into the development, such as like the roads and in the building materials, because, you know, hemp is a material, and we've been looking into hempcrete, you know, and it's something that can be grown almost anywhere, especially in Africa, but incorporating, you know, ways of doing green building that, you know, would make it self-sufficient, you know, where we wouldn't, you know, the land is there, you know, clearing the agriculture space to grow the hemp and then convert it into hempcrete to assist with development for the infrastructure for the buildings or the roads. And then secondly, solar energy, you know, as we're looking to get into development, how are we going to be contributing in a way that's going to be, you know, green and, you know, good for the environment and not, you know, deal with some of the issues that we found here in the state. So that was more like a comment, and maybe if you know something about that or if you think it's a great idea, just let me know. But I would think that we want to, you know, try to think of ways, and my purpose of saying, you know, we start here, you know, developing the skills and trade sets so when we do, you know, venture over to the continent, not only can we, you know, have people working locally, but you know, convince other folks or, you know, provide a way for folks who are here that are looking to go to Africa or participate in the Industrial Revolution where there is, you know, something that we are bringing to the table where we've already got our feet wet in. What do you think about that, Brother Keith?
No, I mean, I think it's a great idea. I mean, the Green Initiative is something that's been pushed, you know, mainly this year, which is kind of unfair to African nations because they do the least polluting out of all the developed nations. Like China's the largest polluter in the world, but I think there's so much opportunity just in the green space from using some of those renewable technologies, you know, that can really put the African economy in a place where they can leapfrog a lot of different nations and technology. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a great idea. I think the continent is not in a place right now where they can implement this stuff overnight. I mean, you know, we're talking about economies that are still solely relying on fossil fuels. I mean, look at Nigeria. I mean, they're oversaturated in that sector, and that's their main export. So, I mean, I think we definitely want to get away from an over-reliance on commodities in Africa because it's really been a death knell in development for us. You see, even with Ghana, I don't know if you guys seen the spat with them in Switzerland, I believe, where they want to get better terms on their cocoa, which they sell, you know, 70% of the cocoa in the world. But they've been having issues selling that cocoa now. So, like, that stuff is piling up in Ghana. So, I mean, just
right.
– I mean, I think for us the main thing should be just adding value onto the things that we produce. You know, if we're going to
–
Yeah, exactly. And I'm sure, Eugene, you have more commentary you can provide on that.
Yeah, for sure, brother. You know, just recently, as you mentioned, Ghana, along with the Cote d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, and a few other West Coast countries have partnered up to unify to sell their cocoa on the market. And a lot of the exports, whereas a lot of the nations are now are not going to be putting in a pact where they're not going to export their raw materials, but also being able to offer finished and ready-made products. You know, we often, you talk about something like Swiss cocoa. Well, yeah, we buy Swiss cocoa, but cocoa is really not grown in Switzerland. Matter of fact, yeah. There's no chocolate grown in Europe at all, but we get these coin terms and names that we've come accustomed to buying. And of course, the new breed leader generation, African generation, has become more smarter, more wiser, and also are more cost conscious in how we're doing business these days. And so, yeah, the manufacturing opportunities there.
Yeah.
And so
it's
to
huge.
Offer, you have to give a little bit about some of the key sectors. You know, of course, manufacturing is a good business to get into there in Ghana. It can be done fairly cheaply. You know, our brothers and sisters have the skills and the expertise here. We've been working in the Babylonian nations and have been utilizing these tools and equipment and education, and now we can actually begin to see the opportunities to make what we're doing here in the States as flourishing, to really be able to be a big income money maker for ourselves. Other sectors include petroleum and natural gas production and refining, industrial minerals, mining. Tourism is a big business. Of course, like you say, brother, Keith, you're into the real estate. That's very booming right now, especially with many of the cities that are transforming with their economies and are growing their infrastructure, as well as the whole layout plan of bringing their country into modernization. You're looking at trade and export, electricity generation sectors, companies that can perform economic transparency for consulting and things of that nature concerning around financing and not from the local sector, but the government as well as military sectors. We're also looking into science and technology space and satellite programs where they're beginning to become more of an interest to the African nations to be able to put up satellites, to be able to communicate better, offer better communication systems, cyber matrix and cyber warfare technology, as well as health and biological and educational programs that could extend out. Give a little information about Ghana again. It is a unilateral presidential constitutional republic, and the current president is Nana Akufo-Addo. The vice president is Mamadou Bawumia, and the nation is approximately 31 million people that occupy the nation itself as a population of 31 million. And the GDP for Ghana as of 2020, it was $226 billion per 8,343 per capita. And so, yeah, we've been seeing that the countries in East, in the ECOWAS regions have been very moving at a very fast pace with this growth. And certainly, Brother Keith, we appreciate you coming on the program tonight to share your personal experience as a underwriter and a commercial banker, but also to share your experience of what you've boots on the ground. That's what we say here on the New Black Panther and New African Network. We have people who are actually have boots on the ground and is actually there doing, putting in that work. So thank you, brother, for coming on this evening. Is there any last words you'd like to share with us? I know we're getting pretty far along in the conversation tonight, and before I get into the Afro Diaspora nightly broadcast.
Before he makes his final comment, Brother Keith, I want to thank you because you clearly had to have a certain level of consciousness because you mentioned, you know, going to Ghana in reference to Kwame Nkrumah, and then by you not only hitting the ground in Guinea, so that was where, you know, Kwame Ture and Kwame Nkrumah, you know, were anchored. And so I would assume that you went into it not only with a certain consciousness, but with a commitment that we, you know, to be a part of this development. And, you know, we salute you for that, brother. You know, and I'm pretty sure those two great ancestors are and, you know, as they cover you, you know, Kwame Nkrumah and Kwame Ture, as you're continuing this great work. And we appreciate you. We're not going to leave you out there hanging. We're going to see how we can plug this opportunity as well. So thank you. Thank you.
No, thank you. It's really been a pleasure, you know, being here with you guys and building. You know, I feel like right now is the opportunity to really help change the continent. I mean, it's some of the fastest growing economies all on the continent. We have an opportunity to move up the value chain, as Brother Eugene was saying, as far as manufacturing goods on the continent, you know, turning those cocoa beans into actual chocolate. You know, places like Nigeria, there should be no reason that, you know, 70-80% of their exports are in oil, yet they import gas. I mean, how does that make any sense? And I know, obviously, they're working on building refineries and things like that, but it's just simple things like key investments, going up the value chain, also realizing that the money that's come from China over the last couple of years is not going to continue at the same pace. They're moving away from doing infrastructure builds and investments to more the telecom space with Huawei, which is one of their biggest telecom companies. But I think more of us need to visit, more of us need to see the continent as a place to invest, a place where we need to put our money and build and buy homes and really establish ourselves. I truly believe that all the opportunity is there. And it's amazing when you meet people on the continent. And one of the main questions they always ask you is, you know, why are you here? Because some of the people that live there don't see it from the same perspective that we do. And I hope, you know, throughout this journey to change some minds and really be able to do something to not only benefit the citizens and the prospective countries I work in, but also create opportunities for our brothers and sisters here to make money, to develop relationships, and just move the continent forward. So I thank you, Brother Eugene, for having me on. I hope you can have me again. This was fun, and I look forward to speaking with you guys again.
Oh yeah, you come. You're coming back. You coming back for
oh,
sure.
Oh yeah, word up, brother. Word up, brother.
We definitely got
a diamond amongst us, and the brother has shared some information that we can use on a daily basis. And of course, it always works out as we are moving towards a new height and plane as a black building, the black nation. And thank you, Brother Keith, for coming on and sharing that with us. Do we have any people on that want to ask Brother Keith Williams any questions before we move along with the Afro Diaspora News broadcast for tonight? Please press the number one.
Yeah, I see you got some of your folks in Philly on. I see some 215 area codes. But if you guys have a question, like Eugene said, you got to press that number one, and we can get you on in. Yeah, you know, I didn't want to just dominate. I know I had asked a bunch of questions. Maybe we answered some of your questions. But, yeah, you know, very, very key information. And like the brother said, he's not just a capitalist. He has a vision, you know, a vision of us contributing to the continent and becoming land owners. So I don't see anyone else press one, Brother Eugene. So let's go ahead and get into the New African News. Black Power.
All right. That's what's up. Well, Tukumoja, we are together. And Habaragani, what's the news? And right now we have the Afro Diaspora News Report coming in. And we got news in today about Kenya refuses to betray Ethiopia, and it rejects the U.S. intervention in Ethiopian affairs. So that's a big black power move right there. It is telling the Babylonian nations, mind your business and let us do what we do here on the continent. Second up, we have the West African military chiefs. They met in Cote d'Ivoire, which is the Ivory Coast, on the ECOWAS Security Summit, and it was discussion to actually talk about hoping to curb crime and activity, unwarranted activities on the West Coast in the ECOWAS region, and also to be able to foster programs that can keep insurgency and people who come to the nation to do the people harm, a program in place for that. Next up, Tanzania just broke a record with a growth of $182 million that was done in export with Kenya over the past 6 months, and it has been working to solidify and enhances trade relationship in the region. Tanzania has much export that has been doing with the nation as far as agriculture and some mining materials that have been exported to Kenya. So we definitely give them a big up for that. Also in the news, the first woman governor of Nairobi, Kenya was elected. Her name is Anna K. Migwinda, and she is age 41. And so we give a big up and a big shout out to that sister and congratulate her on her new position as governor of Nairobi, Kenya. Also, we have some heartbreaking news today. Rest in peace, rapper Young Dolph was killed on November 17th. And the young gentleman, he was born July 27, 1985. Rest in peace, November 17th. And one of his first songs that really hit the chart that made it pretty big was The King of Memphis. And his actual name is Adolph Robert Thornton, known as Young Dolph. So rest in peace and blessings to his family, and hopefully they can find comfort
in this madness and mayhem that we're experiencing here in the nation of Babylon. Ghana is to host the first Wakanda One City, which is spearheaded by Dr. Erykana Turumbera-Kwa, who is the former AU ambassador here in the States. And this event is supposed to take place December 2nd through December 13th, and it's going to be held at the Ridgeway Royal Hotel. You can find out a little bit more about this upcoming expo, and if you wanted to take your business over or perhaps travel over to Ghana to be a part of this program, reach out to the Afro Diaspora Development Institute at our ADDI.org. That's our ADDI.org, and be able to provide additional information about that upcoming expo. We also want to thank our guest tonight, Brother Keith Williams, for coming on and sharing the information about his background and his business experience. And we certainly will be keeping in touch with this brother to forge and build the alliance as partnership. And he is a major part, a member of the New Africa Network, a network of more than 300,000 brothers and sisters networking simultaneously worldwide and putting programs and structures in place to help enhance our lives as Black people. Also, this past week was the opening of the Intra-African Trade Fair. It kicked off this week in Durban, South Africa. It is being held at the Durban International Convention Center, and it will be there from November 15th through the 21st. And we have many countries that are and businesses that have been coming there to share and dialogue information about developing Africa, from the manufacturing and industrial sectors to what is that we just talked about tonight, putting in green initiatives and plans and programs that can help revitalize the country itself, from growing trees and plants to the utilization of solar and wind power and things of that nature. So we give a big up to our brothers and sisters, and we had that report come in from one of our dear brothers from South Africa who gave us that information that that meeting was taking place. And so we thank Brother Tefra for sharing that information on the New African Network. So that's about it for this evening, brothers and sisters. I'm Brother Eugene reporting from Charlotte, North Carolina. Go ahead.
We have a caller or two. Yes. Yeah, so, oh, wait a minute. I recognize this caller. This is our Tuesday night host, Brother Tugmo Sankara, calling in out of Atlanta, Georgia. Brother Tugmo, you have the floor.
Peace and power, African family.
Black power, brother Eugene,
Sister Crystal. I actually was just able to chime in. I was having to actually come off of an African Union call, but I earlier today looked at what the show was tonight, and what I'll do is if I can receive a recording of it, I want to study it so that I can, in my position as chair of the African Union Diaspora Office, connect with the brother that y'all had on the show tonight. I just was able to come on now, and I will listen to it. And I thank y'all for. It was so pertinent. I was just on the call with Professor Smalls, and then telling him I was like over here on the New Black Panther Party. And we was like joking, and a couple of times I said I gotta go, and we kept talking a little bit longer, so I was able to finally come over here with y'all. And so keep up the good work. And like I said, I like to receive a recording and connect with. And I would just listen to the information you were giving, Brother Greg, with the African Development Institute.
Brother Eugene.
African Diaspora Development Institute. Brother Eugene, yes. So I look forward to connecting with you, comrades, on that in the near future. It's actually a part of my job.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Now, brother Tutmose, and to everybody that's listening, every broadcast that we do immediately after the show is over, within a minute or two, it goes into the archive. So, and you can play it on demand. And so you go to talkradio.com/the New Black Panther Party, and boom, the playlist is going to be right there. So you can click the download. So even for your shows on Tuesday night, it's accessible 24/7, 365. And so hold on, wait a minute. Now I'm gonna be like brother Greg. I'm gonna do a brother Greg. Now we had a guest on. I'm glad you called in, Tutmose. You had an excellent reason for chiming in late. We had this guest on for an hour and 40 minutes, and we asked for folks to chime in, and as soon as the brother hangs up, everybody chimes in. But it's all good. We're going to keep the show going. So, yes, Brother Tutmose, please, I was thinking about that before he jumped off. Doesn't Professor Smalls and Leonard Jeffrey, they have a property in Ghana, correct?
Yes, yes. They are co-owners of the Sanai Lodge in Accra.
Exactly, and that's where the brother is doing work, doing development at. Is that correct, Brother Eugene in Accra? I know you also mentioned Apollonia. Apollonia.
Apollonia.
Is that a city?
In Accra. Yeah,
okay.
Apollonia, I think it's a little town.
Apollonia is a little town. It's not far from Accra, actually. Apollonia, I know where that is. So, like I said, I look forward to and thank you guys once again for your continued work. You're a true Pan-African organization. You're not only dealing with the domestic terrorism we're experiencing from the Babylonian government that we're under, but you're also working internationally to bring development to the continent. So I thank you, comrades, personally.
Oh yeah, hey, I love to take the credit, but that's Brother Eugene that's bringing these power hitters and that new African network, 300,000 strong.
Brother Eugene, we gotta spend some comrade time with each other, connecting, networking, talking, and then at some point finally meeting. And thank you for your continued work. I know that, with me coming on a Tuesday and you coming on a Thursday, I'm always be checking for you. I'll be having a lot of stuff going on. But just know support of you. Right. I understand. I mean, I've been on radio for 9 years. So I understand the grind of weekly gathering the information, putting yourself in a position where when the time comes, you can present it properly. So thank you for your effort, brother.
Yeah, same here, brother. Thank you too, Brother Tutmose. And we appreciate you being a part of this network and nation building process as well.
Yes, sir.
We got a caller, ATL in the house. ATL is in the house. I know who this is. This is Brother Abdul out of Atlanta. Abdul, you have the floor, Brother Black Power.
Black Power.
Yo, Black Power, Brother Abdul.
Your mic is on, come off mute.
Yeah, take your mute off.
Brother Abdul, come off mute. All right. Hold on. Let me go ahead. It's been a minute since we heard from Brother Abdul. Is having a little technical difficulty. We're going to go and mute him back. It's been a minute since we heard from this brother. Brother Yaya.
Assalamu alaikum. May the peace of the Creator be with you.
Walaikum salam, Yaya, Black Power.
Walaikum salam,
Rahmatullah.
Power to Brother Greg's young daughter. I just wanted to ask really quickly to Brother Eugene if there was an update in regard to the Black Farmers Conference. I wasn't able to attend. I got to sign up. It was a really busy weekend for me. However, I have good news to share. Pan-Africa, the diaspora, and the majority of the planet have already developed solutions. Where the last time we spoke on the show, we were talking about solutions on placing surveillance on the so-called policing systems while it's reconstructed, rebuilt from the bottom up, or reconstructed totally. But we've moved on. We're are now looking at solutions that are both on the ground and spatial in regard to developing a Black Nation satellite system to provide an alternative for the Earth observation system that is providing the free land plot scans to all Black farmers and Aboriginal farmers on the planet. And I just wanted to know if there was an update, because it's really exciting to see the unification, perhaps, of education and protecting the African knowledge database, having both memory storage on Earth as well as in space, but at the same time not depending on space technology to monitor crops, monitor large croplands, and monitor health of crops. And I just wanted to ask if there was any follow-up, if that was acceptable in tonight's conversation. Thank you, and Black Power.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Yao Yao, for that question. You know, I definitely will be able to get you in touch with Dr. John Boyd and Carol Boyd of the National Black Farmers Association. And I know they've been doing some work with advanced farming and so forth, and I think they will be a vital resource for you. So I'll reach out to you after the show or perhaps tomorrow sometime to provide them with that link, provide you with their contact information. As far as what I know, I was not able to attend the actual conference that took place in Virginia a couple of weeks ago, but understand that it turned out very well. They had a lot of folks come out, and they were also had some folks that were connected with U.S. Exim Bank to come out to speak a little bit about to the Black farmers how to get more connected and getting financing for many of the agricultural projects that are taking place there. And so, yeah, that's definitely been some big talk of the week. As far as the African connection, as far as security is concerned, well, Brother Abiy Ahiberhaut of Ethiopia, he is actually putting on a function this upcoming Sunday, November 21st at 2 p.m. It's going to be held at 6801 Hollywood Boulevard in Hollywood, California. And for more information about this particular rally, it's about the U.S. mining is business, and it's you can obtain information at hashtag no more rally U.S. not another war. And it is for a rally for the people about now that the U.S. has left Afghanistan, now is looking for a country that it can go to war with. And certainly Ethiopia feels that it has an eye on them as being a target. But we here in the diaspora, Ethiopia is the land of our ancestors, and Ethiopia has always maintained its sovereignty and its freedom, and we, even here in the diaspora, will not let any outside intruder invade Ethiopia. We will allow Africans to handle their business affairs. One love and Black Power.
Black Power, grateful.
Black Power. If I could follow up with your comrade, actually the phone call I was on with Dr. Jeffries and Professor Smalls had to do with it, because here in Atlanta there's a very, very, very large Ethiopian community, and there's also a large Eritrean community. There's a large Somali community too. and they're also players in this. So I am scheduled to meet with them. I will be reporting on that this week coming up in my report, because here Atlanta plays a very major role because they have direct flights there from here, and a lot of the diplomats at the consulate for Ethiopia is in Atlanta. So you get a lot of these guys here. So I'm supposed to be sitting with them this weekend. So I'll be reporting in on that. That is, I think that we as Africans in the United States can make a major difference in that. And it's by clarifying the information. Remember, as I said earlier in my report, that the TPLF, you know, it's this group. Mm-hmm. With inside of Ethiopia that's being supplied by the United States. The United States been, you know, fooling around over there the last few years. I'm been steady checking in, giving reports on my radio show on WRFG, and I'm trying to figure out what are they doing. I know their military is there. I'm figuring out what they're trying to do. They even making propaganda about it. Remember the movie Shooter with Mark Wahlberg? Remember, it was the Archbishop of Ethiopia in that movie that they shot. So all the way since back then, I was checking for what it was they were trying to do. And now we know they were arming and supplying that group within Ethiopia that actually come from Eritrea, but that they're part of it that lives in Ethiopia. And even the government of Eritrea is with the government of Ethiopia to try to stop what's happening. That lets you know it's not the governments of Africa. If somebody supplying this little group, they're creating their own little ISIS within inside of Ethiopia. That's why they've been there. That's who they've been training. That's who they're supplying. So I'm going to try to get to the bottom. I'm going to get to the bottom of it this weekend, though, because the thing about the Oromo, my ex-father-in-law is Oromo. And they are the majority population in Ethiopia, and they have joined with that group, the TPLF, because they don't have the political education to know that that's the United States. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm getting ready to walk into a hornet's nest this weekend, you know, because mm-hmm. I have mm-hmm. to deliver that information. You know, I have to tell them that, hey, look, Oromos, y'all making the wrong move. That's
right,
crap.
Right. Yeah, I certainly think that's where the African diaspora could have some effect on the outcome of how this war is moving. We can help de-escalate it in some form or fashion, and especially when we're talking about the unification. And now that we know some of the tricks of Babylon, the Babylonian nations trying to destabilize African nations from unifying. Because if the African nations unify, that means they have no place in African business or affairs. And therefore, you know, we have to safeguard that principle that is taking place there ourselves. We have to help them safeguard that. But our brothers and sisters, they've been seeing brothers, foreigners, Europeans in Kenya a few weeks ago, killed some people in a village there on some training programs and so forth. Also been information about UK soldiers, white soldiers have been coming there, raping women while they're there on this tour, whatever they're doing up in the mountains. Folks been doing a joint training program with the government soldiers there in Kenya. But, of course, you know, we all know that there's some other initiative behind that. And, of course, with the conflict of interest of the dam in between Egypt and Ethiopia over the last few months, certainly we may be looking at Babylonian nations becoming involved in the affairs of African affairs, trying to dismantle some of the goodwill principle that they may be have in place, safeguarding. But hopefully they'll figure it out. But we have to be also be engaged with a lot of that talk that's going on over on the continent, being that we are African people, so therefore we also have a say-so in what's happening on the continent, whether it's politically or economically. Thank you, brother, for sharing that information.
So we got to tell, Biden and Kamala to get the hell out of Africa. You know what I'm saying? Biden and Kamala need to get the hell out of Africa. Just straight up, has to be the campaign.
And if they don't, we do like the Black Eagle did. We go over there and make them stop.
Oh, for sure. You know, I've actually thought about that, maybe having an intervention.
We go over there and make them stop.
Yeah, brothers and sisters actually go over and extend out an olive branch between and the dispute, and as well as educate them on what's going on. Because, of course, when we're divided, that's what Babylon works on. It works on dividing and conquering the people. And if those folks are not aware of what's really happening in the backdrop, then, of course, they will get that game ran on them as well. So, yeah, big up. Also, I want to remind the people, we are not our parents' generation, nor are we our grandparents' generation. We are the new breed leader generation. We are the new breed leader African generation. We are Black men and Black women with enough respect for ourselves. We need those real G's on deck. We call for 1 million African Liberation Day in conference. Join the new Black Panther Party, the African Liberation Army, the NFAC, Team Huey Newton, the South African Economic Fighters, the NOI, the African Diaspora Development Institute, Africans United Business Organization, the New Africa Network. Get yourself connected and registered today. Become a member. Y'all need to holler at us. We got that real talk. Kiko Pamoja, we are together. Sister Crystal, I'll go ahead and yield the mic, and any last words for any of our listeners?
Black power!
Black power!
Black power!
Black power. That's the last one. Power. Inspiration to the people. That's what's up. If you're not motivated by that, then I don't know what else you can be motivated by.
That's what I'm saying.
They need to turn on the microphones over there and say Black Power with the little sister. They need to turn on the microphones over there before we go.
She's on it. Let's make sure, brothers and sisters, you tune in tomorrow night, as we will have a very, very special broadcast. We'll be doing our leg of the 12-hour fundraiser for Otto Wallace, our brother Ozone, who is being charged with a capital punishment. He was approached while sitting in his car, minding his own business at the property where he lived at, by police coming to him in the middle of the night. An officer approached him, engaged him. Brother Ozone lived to tell the story. The pig didn't. But anyway, with that being said, our brother deserves a fair trial. Not only does he deserve a fair trial, he needs representation. He needs representation. This case is going to cost almost $500,000. We only have 10% of that money. We still have 90% of that money to raise for his legal defense. So tomorrow night, we will be doing a simulcast. We're going to be live on the radio while live on YouTube on the OC The Great Show. I'll make sure to send you guys the link. I know Brother Tutmo said he would come on. I'll make sure to send Greg and Eugene, everybody else. I'm going to send y'all the YouTube link on StreamYard, and you come on live. But also we'll have you call into the show, and we're gonna make this happen, yo. So if you have access to a tablet or a laptop as well as a phone, we're going to do some cross broadcast streams. So tomorrow is very important. Tomorrow's broadcast is very important. I did just receive some disturbing news. There's been all kind of attempts to sabotage our brother's support. So I'm going to have to jump right off this call and get on with the family to deal with that. But Black Power family, Thank you, Brother Eugene, Brother Keith Williams, Brother Greg, Brother Tudmos, Brother Yaya for calling in, and everybody that's listening to the New Black Panther Party Radio. Go to www.nbpp.org, click that donate button, which will take you to the Black Cross website, our humanitarian arm of the New Black Panther Party, and give us some strong black dollars so we can keep this wheel, this movement moving. Black power.
Black power.
We've seen you same.